made by Jaguars fans for Jaguars fans. This is the Real Till Podcast, the official podcast of Jaguars Reddit.
Dude, I'm ready. My body's ready.
I was born ready.
When are we ready? Right now?
Yeah. I'm ready now. I'm already recording, so whenever you guys
Okay, well, everybody, welcome to the Real Teal Freer podcast. I'm joined by my guests, Oliver Cromwell, the class of 3030, and the other one, whatever. You're supposed to talk now.
And I'm Chromatose, and I just want to let you know I'm joined today by J.C. Strickland and 3030.
J.C. Penny.
J.C. Penny. All right. Well, that's okay. A great intro. If you want to run it back one more time, we'll give it to you. All right. I guess not. I was giving you a chance. I was giving you a chance to rerun it back and throw the J.C. Penny in there.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the Real Teal Freer podcast. I'm joined by my guest today, Oliver Cromwell. The class is 3030. J.C. Speak now.
And you cut out.
Yeah,
perfect.
You cut out right before you
good stuff.
Said
good
J.C.
stuff.
Penny.
No, we're going to leave it at that one.
Fuck!
There.
I said J.C. Penny for the record. Put that in the final cut.
All right. Let's go in the final cut. What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Sick.
Hi.
It's going.
You guys hear me cough? It's my fault.
Oh, yes.
But we got a nice little schedule here. We got a nice 4-man podcast, which we've never ran before. Got that intro out of the way. A couple things we're going to talk about, mainly just focus on the draft. But the first thing we'll touch on before the draft, since it'll be the main content, is Telvin Smith and how our front office has not somehow haven't been in touch with him this off season. I don't know how. This is the guy's on Instagram every single day. But what do you guys got on that?
I'm just wondering, go ahead.
Right, I'm sorry. All right. So I'm just wondering why, like, even if Telvin would ignore us, like, is there any good reason for him to do that? Like, he's not good enough to hold out. We didn't like draft the first round, like, weak side linebacker. So something really just seems fishy about the whole thing to me. Like, why would you just stop talking to Doug? I feel like they just didn't try hard enough to reach out. Maybe they got an old phone or something. Now they're just complaining about it, but.
Yeah, like, he just posted 23 hours ago on his Instagram of him singing in his car. Like, he's clearly available, so I just don't know what our front office is doing, or they're just hiding something for a reason.
Yeah, I saw someone say, like, it was either a tweet or something on the sub, I don't remember where, but it was something that said the Jaguars still couldn't get in contact with Telvin Smith, and someone commented, it's like, it's not that hard, just follow his Instagram. Like he's actively there. Like, how is it so hard to get in contact with this guy? And like 30 said, it doesn't make sense, because he's not really good enough to hold out. He may think he is, and he may think he's more important than he is because of his leadership role on the defense or the team as a whole. But it really doesn't make any sense as to why there's no contact between the two sides.
I don't think he's holding out, because he has never once seemed like the type of person to do that. And even if he wanted to hold out, I think it would be more beneficial to say something to the media and get some kind of pressure on the team, you know, create some negative press for the team. Like, well, why don't you just pay the man or whatever? Because if you're just instituting radio silence like this, you're in no way helping yourself. So I think it's more some kind of bizarre, extremely complex miscommunication. And I also think nobody in the Jaguars building knows how to use Instagram. So they don't know how to contact him, even though he's available. He might have just lost his phone in like a river or something, and they just don't know how to use any other form of communication.
Well, I saw somewhere, and I can't give you a source because I glanced over it, because it's probably pure speculation, but I saw somewhere that they may have tried to renegotiate his contract.
Makes sense.
And he got pissed about that. It's a possibility, but considering that I only saw it once, at a glance, it's probably just speculation, but
I mean, I think a move like that would get some kind of reporting. Like somebody within the Jags, you know, like a reporter or whatever, they would have some kind of word of this if they tried to do something that big. I don't think it would go unnoticed for this long.
I feel like the Jags, though, as a franchise, are really good about not letting leaks get out of the building. I've never really seen anything come out like that before. So if that really is a situation, it wouldn't surprise me that no one knows about it.
Well, they usually leak everything. It gets out because they tell it to some low-level employee. Like, you know, I don't know how true it was. It might have just been speculation, but the news about Nick Foles seemed to be getting confirmed like weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. I don't see how people like Shefty would be so adamant about it if they didn't have it some kind of source.
Well, I guess with that, Nick Foles is a much bigger name than Telvin Smith. That Nick Foles news getting out is going to get clicks league-wide, where as a guy like Telvin Smith, nobody cares outside of Jaguars fans. So that's one of those things when Nick Foles' name comes up, a lot of those talking heads and sports writers are going to jump on that and take it as far as they can. It's a little different scenario with a guy like Telvin.
That's pretty fair. We also don't have, like, ever since Ryan O left, we don't really have the kind of reporter in our beat room that would really press on that sort of issue, I feel like. Especially when there's so much other stuff going on with the drafts and all that to get easy clicks.
Well, let me ask you guys real quick. We've signed a load of linebackers, undrafted free agents, and free agents from, you know, whatever teams they played for. But I think we signed something like 5 the last few days. Do you guys think that's directly related to the Telvin scenario, or do you think it's merely just to have bodies for camp?
It's definitely related. Like, there's just no way you, including the guy we drafted, that's 5 linebackers in the last week. It has to be related somehow to the dude just not being there. Like, if I was Dave Caldwell, I'd be worried. Like, beyond the lack of technological ability that's in the Jaguars front office, like, if one of my players is not responding to me in any way, like, I want to have a backup plan. That being said, we also do need depth, but it's definitely really, like, if we needed depth, we would sign like 3. We signed 5. That's a bit much.
I think it could. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I mean, just what you said. It's a combination of his future uncertainty and like our linebackers are just, we need depth there. So yeah, I'm definitely agreeing. It's combo of the both there.
Yeah, I'm also on the combo train, but I do think, you know, maybe some of them are just kind of because Telvin's not here, but I also feel like the organization maybe isn't as confident in Leon Jacobs as they were last year, because he is a 7th-round pick, and he did get hurt, and they don't necessarily know what they have in him. He plays a major role as far as run-stopping goes, so you want to have somebody that you know can do the job, but availability is the best kind of ability. And I know a lot of people got hurt last year, but you know, we let Austin Seferian Jenkins go. There's probably going to be a camp competition for that strong side linebacker, and I wouldn't put it past one of our recent signings to gain that role and just be gone with Leon Jacobs. That said, I do hope we keep him because I liked what I saw when he was in.
It's really similar to me how last offseason we signed so many tight ends for seemingly no reason at all. And it turned out we needed all of them because all of ours got injured. But I don't know. It's just really similar. Last offseason, they were just signing tight ends at will. And it became a running gag that we had so many tight ends on the roster come preseason. It's kind of the same now, but I guess the big difference here is that our, you know, the core of our, or the leader of our defense, quote unquote, you could say Calais is, but, Telvin's not there. So it's a little different scenario than the tight end situation from last year.
One other thing about that tight end scenario is we didn't let go of Mercedes until word came out that he was unhappy, that he was making less money than Safarian Jenkins. As far as I understand it, we intended to keep both of them, and it wasn't until he raised a stink, allegedly, that we got rid of him. So I don't know if that's a one-to-one thing.
I want to throw this out there, but I feel like Telvin's going to retire in the next couple years. Players are retiring in their primes a lot more, it seems like. And I feel like this latest thing just feels like, I don't know, it just gives me a really odd feeling, especially since he's like so involved with his family and his community and all that. He seems like the kind of guy, he loves football, but I don't know. I feel like 31, 32 is sort of the max for him.
It's plausible. I can see it, but we'll something we'll just have to pay attention to.
Yeah, if you were tuning into this podcast because you needed some kind of unique perspective or any kind of new information, I'm sorry to disappoint.
Oh well, let me ask you guys: with the linebackers that we have on the roster already, in Telvin Miles, Jake Ryan, who we signed, Leon Jacobs, and then the five guys that we brought in over the last week. With this Telvin scenario playing out the way it is, week one, what do you think the depth chart is at linebacker?
I have no fucking clue. I just don't, this whole Telvin situation just makes no sense at all. So that's a thing. Is he going to be here? We already passed the draft, so we're not going to trade him for a pick for next year, probably. Are we going to cut him? I have no idea.
Nah. You haven't said anything in a while, Mr. 30. Why don't you give this one a go? Well, actually, no, you did say that retired. Go ahead anyway.
I feel like, well, Miles is definitely going to be like the quote-unquote leader very soon, if he's not already. I just feel like nowadays with linebackers getting less value because we play so much nickel and dime these days that, like, yeah, Telvin not being here might be kind of sucky, but outside of Miles, like, it doesn't matter that much to me, I feel like. I feel like our bigger concern is the safety room than the linebackers because Telvin's kind of falling off. Like, I really like the dude, but is the difference between Telvin and, you know, Jake Ryan or whoever we drafted that big? I don't know. So I wouldn't be too concerned over whatever happens.
I think this is one of those weird scenarios. And I think this is one of those things that, like, when the season starts, we're going to look back on it and it'll just be resolved at that point. And, like, it'll be some, like, oh, yeah, no, I was out, like, fucking fishing with my family or some shit. And I just, you know, I never noticed or some shit. And then we're all like, ha, 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 yeah. And, I don't know how the depth chart's going to look either because I don't know a damn thing about any of the players we signed.
Other than Quincy Williams, who's probably going to be a future Hall of Famer.
Of course. I mean, the man is so good that he posted his own highlight video and no other record of it exists for anyone but scouts. Even Brett Coleman was like, yeah, I couldn't find anything on this guy. He may as well just dropped off the face of the earth and just reappeared on the Jags roster.
Telvin is the kind of guy who would do that. Just, like, have no contact for 5 months and then show up for the start of camp. There's, like, a big-ass smile on his face. Like, hey, guys, I'm ready. Let's go.
He's going to be 300 pounds of just lean muscle and just hulk his way through everybody. And be like, goddamn, Telvin. Yeah, 300. Full 300. It's going to look weird, but, you know.
Maybe he saw Leon Jacobs last year and how stacked that guy was, and he felt really emasculated, so he's taking the extra time off to get in better shape so he can show up Leon at camp this year.
He's going to come back with fucking watermelon sized like biceps. I'm like, damn, Telvin, how'd you get so big? And he's like, yeah, I went training in the hyperbolic time chamber. Don't worry about it.
Perfect. So I went ahead and just to wrap this subject up. So his 2020 and 2021 dead cap, if we were to for some reason cut him, would be right about $8 million between the 2 years. So
that's a lot. That's more than I expected. Wow.
Well, 5.6 for 2020 and then 2.8 for 2021. This year, 13.
Don't we usually front load our contracts a lot more than that? I feel like it's kind of high for, yeah.
Well, his, that's not that much in you know, in the grand scheme of things. Like, it's a lot, but it's not like fucking, I don't know, Norwell money.
Well, I think when they renegotiated his contract, I think they took some money off the front and backloaded the rest of it for whatever reason they needed to free up cash when they cut that deal. I remember it was done mid-season, I think.
Yep. 2017, wasn't it?
It was done at a time they were trying to free up some cap space, so I'm pretty sure they took some of that cash up front and moved it to the back end.
Alrighty.
So yeah, that's enough with that. It actually went a little bit longer than I thought it would, but that's okay. So now we're hitting on the draft here. I'm not really big on letter grades here, so.
I noticed somebody commented that they didn't want us to give letter grades, so that's exactly what I'm gonna do.
Okay, perfect. Well, you definitely give the letter grades here. I'm just here to talk about each person. And we'll go ahead and just jump right into our first round pick.
Okay.
Josh Allen, defensive end from Kentucky. What do we got on that?
Oh. Right off the bat. All right.
All right. Perfect.
I agree. A grade for sure.
You don't have to say anything more. He's the good Josh Allen. It's fine.
So the most interesting thing about our number 7 pick, Josh Allen from Kentucky, is that he fell to us. Like, that is unbelievable. It is the luckiest scenario possible for Jaguars. I imagine whoever they had at number one, who they thought they were going to take, they just immediately fucking pushed down and said, fuck it, I don't care, we're taking Josh Allen. The dude's a beast, and the fucking Giants took Daniel Jones. It's unbelievable that he was able to fall to us at 7. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I didn't look at him in like any mocks for us just because like I projected him top 4. He wasn't even on my radar because I didn't think he would actually get to us. So as far as a pick, I mean, I'm surprised and I'm okay with it.
I feel like the Giants is sort of understandable, not that they picked Daniel Jones, but that they picked a quarterback because Eli sucks. But I don't understand the Raiders taking Cleveland Farrell over Josh Allen because Josh Allen is just better, and they play like a similar role.
That's where I'm at. Everyone gives the Giants shit, and they should get shit because they could have gotten Daniel Jones at 17 if they really wanted him because nobody else did. But the Raiders – trying to get Mike Mayock with that fucking galaxy brain meme. Just like, oh, yeah? He think I'm going to take Josh Allen just because he's the best guy on the board? Not a fucking chance. I'm taking Cleveland Farrell. It's like, all right. Thanks, I guess. Tampa Bay, they picked for need. And the Giants just shot their foot off. The whole thing. Just because they don't like themselves and they don't like winning. But we like winning. And that's why we picked Josh Allen.
If we like winning so much, why don't we win more?
Wow.
We're allergic to it. It's a really disgusting, like, really sad thing.
So, if you think...
Yeah, Josh Allen, pretty good.
If you think
I
about...
I also want to say Josh Allen is, like, the anti-Dante Fowler in every way possible.
Right.
Like Dante Fowler showing up with the graft, wearing, like, gold study shoes. It's cool if you, like, back it up and produce, but no. Whereas Josh Allen was watching Monsters University on the phone with his son when he got drafted. It's just so sweet. So his son's very cute, too. Shout out.
Well, Josh sure. Allen did play in a 3-4 scheme. Obviously, he's going to be playing in a 4-3 here. So he's going to be getting a lot more, a lot more reps at defensive end rather than outside linebacker here. Do you think? I don't think it'd be hard for him to adjust to that because it's basically the same position. How do you guys think about that scheme switch?
I think it'll be good for him. I know he dropped back into coverage sometimes at Kentucky, but that's just like not as strong suit. I feel like as a rookie, if he's moving into a 4-3 defensive end position, he can focus 100% on just rushing the passer instead of having to worry about, any sort of coverage stuff like he did at Kentucky. It'll be a good transition for him. And if we ever move to a 3-4/hybrid scheme, like he has the experience in his back pocket, but I think this is going to be really good for him because we're just playing to his strengths basically.
Well, it's crazy to think about in run packages, our front four is going to be Ngakoue and Allen on the outside, presumably. Ngakoue and Allen on the outside, and Campbell and Marcel on the inside. That is frightening.
We also have Avery Jones, who people forget, but he's still really good.
Yeah, Avery. And Taven played really well in T3 last year, as much shit as people give him. And I think more or less people give him so much shit for being that pick in that draft. But
yeah, Tyson Alualu syndrome. Like, he's not that bad, but like he's the first rounder. People expect more.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. We have six really good defenses.
They expect more right off the bat. And it's like, well, he wasn't going to start over anybody because we picked him as a project with the 29th pick in the first round, which is basically a second rounder. There's always this year he could pop off and just be defensive player of the year or some shit. Nobody would say anything anymore, but
extreme doubt. But continue.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think he's gonna do that because he's basically gonna be playing defensive tackle. But I do think if Allen is like extremely good to the point where we have to have him on the field, I think that even on passing downs they could have Calais kick it inside and Allen be on the edge because we want to keep Ngakoue in there. And Allen and Ngakoue make like those two just combined. Their strip sack totals are going to be fucking ridiculous. They're both so good at getting out the football and forcing fumbles. I mean, at that point, you may as well just give up. It's like, all right, well, you know what? I don't even want to play offense.
I just hope that this year Todd Walsh learns how to use a QB spy because...
Oh, he won't. He won't. Just trust me, he won't. He's too fucking dumb for that. He had plenty of time. How many times have we played Mariota and how many times has he completely abused our scheme because Todd Walsh does not understand that quarterbacks can run too?
At least one more. Which one of you guys are you? One of you guys clicking a fucking pin, by the way?
That's exactly what I'm doing, actually.
Yeah, we can fucking hear it. We can fucking hear it. It's going to be throughout the entire podcast for the first 30 minutes. Right,
so, I get three of them then. You know what's funny? Josh Allen was a wide receiver in high school. So,
which Josh Allen? Ours or the bad one?
Our Josh Allen. Our Josh Allen was a wide receiver in high school.
You think they'd let somebody as stupid as Buffalo's Josh Allen play wide receiver? He'd probably run the wrong way.
So
fair.
All of those people that were mad that we didn't draft our wide receiver one, our
Noller.
Dude. I don't see how you can even be mad at that. That's like getting like somebody is going to at least make a Pro Bowl like relatively soon. Just be like, well, it could have been better. Okay, I guess. Why don't we just draft Hall of Famers every round? Fucking forehead.
Little did these people know that Josh Allen is also our wide receiver one. So there you go. Playing both sides of the ball this year. Our dude.
He can line up again on the other side of Jalen Ramsey. Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. All right, let's move on. Josh Allen, good pick. Freer gave it an A. Okay.
I did.
So the player that most people assumed we were going to take in the first round.
Guilty.
Is the guy we took in the second round, Juwan Taylor. So what are the odds that we land one of the best defensive players in this draft, and one of the best defensive linemen in the draft. And then
defensive players is fine.
Defensive players. And then again, land one of the best offensive linemen in this draft in the second round.
So I give this a Cam Robinson out of 10.
I gave an A+. Shit.
Yeah, so do I, actually.
Yeah, like chasing it. Chasing bags. Even though he went to Florida, and even though he played line, like, even though that should give us some room for concern. Just too talented.
Well, that tape of him against Kentucky was really telling, because even when you weren't watching Josh Allen, like whenever you saw Cam Robinson going up against their other defensive ends, like the dude would just come at him and he just like hold him still. Nah, you're not getting past me. Just, you may as well just sit this snap out. Just forget it, buddy.
He actually kind of, in a way, actually a little bit reminds me of Cam Robinson, where I think he's going to be excellent against the run, and then we'll see how he does run blocking versus pass blocking. I think he could be an elite run blocker, but pass blocking is what we're going to need to see from him. I think he's got quick feet, which is awesome, we'll just play it out, but I mean, we're going to get a starter round two for the next, hopefully, 10 years. And round two, we probably could have taken him in the first.
Well, I know a lot of people were concerned with his knee and his back. Apparently, he's had some issues in those areas. But apparently, not bad enough that I imagine he was high on Caldwell's draft board.
Mm-hmm. He's an SEC player. Of course he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Florida Gator that plays line. He was definitely high on their board.
So I think of it, it's really similar to the Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack situation, where Juwan was probably a guy they would have taken at 7. But the better player fell down to 7, and then they were still able to grab their first round guy in the second round. So the situation with his knees or his back or whatever, obviously I don't think it played much of a factor into these guys taking that pick, and I don't think we probably shouldn't have to worry about it too much, similar to the Miles Jack situation.
One thing I think everyone should notice about him is that even one thing I've noticed with his what tape I have seen is that when he's playing against good defensive ends, and especially fast ones, he has a tendency to try to preempt them, which means he's going to get a lot of false starts in year one, just like Cam Robinson did. And the concern would be, how long is that going to last? Like, I think that's something they could fix, but I just don't know if it's going to be in year one.
Yeah, Parnell averaged 1 false start a game, so if he can get under 1...
Well, he's already better than Parnell, because Parnell is dog shit. I don't even know if anybody signed him yet, and I hope they don't. Well, actually, no, I hope the Titans do.
To replace Conklin, perfect.
Yep.
Great. 100%. Josh Allen coming off the edge to destroy Jeremy Parnell this year. Nice.
Disgusting.
Well, Juwan Taylor will be competing with Big Will Richardson, Josh Wells, and Cedric Obwehi.
So he's
there is
competing
no
at all,
competition
then.
There.
He's
yeah,
just
it's going to be a walk in the park.
But the good thing is, at least we have some sort of depth at that position. One of our biggest issues last year was offensive line depth, which we didn't have to worry about in 2017. So I think they may have hopefully realized that depth on the line is very important.
The worst part about last year was that Parnell was the only one that didn't get hurt, and he was also the worst lineman we had.
I think actually AJ Cam played all games last year too.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought he got hurt at the end.
Possible.
Like 3 years. I think there was like three games he missed. I mean, he was healthy for most of the year for sure.
So, yeah. Freer gave it an A+. 30-30, I think, also gave it an A+.
Yep.
So we can move on. We needed a tight end, and we got a tight end. Round three, number 69 overall.
Nice.
A+.
Josh Oliver, A+, A+ to the pick or A+ to the 69?
Both of them.
Nice. All right,
the pick wasn't an A+, but continue.
Yes, it was. It was because we picked them.
So,
love that confidence.
We needed a tight end. We had signed Jeff Swaim, who I don't think, from what I recall, isn't very good. Who the fuck else did we have?
Kwiatkoski.
O'Shaughnessy. Yeah.
And that guy that you know.
Pharaoh McKeever. Jaguars.
Yeah.
Jaguars legend, Pharaoh McKeever. We needed a tight end. Now, I don't know much about this Josh Oliver. I don't know much about this San Jose State. But I do know that he ran a very good 40 at the combine, 4.63, which was third fastest among tight ends. And he is a pretty good pass catcher. He had over 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns in 3 seasons. So,
dang.
Primarily a pass catcher. So we've got a couple of blockers and we've got a pass catcher. I think the concern was that we weren't able to get a really good blocking tight end like a TJ Hockenson, but I don't know. I saw some of his highlights. His highlights look good, and he's fast. The dude's quick, so I'm okay with it, especially at 69. So,
oh yeah,
he reminds me of like James O'Shaughnessy, but actually good.
Okay.
So I don't really care that much about finding a full package tight end in the third round. I think we did a pretty good job there, and if we need to block, we'll just put Jeff Swaim back in and let him do his thing. But I think for now it's a pretty solid pick. I give it like a B+.
Yeah, I give it an A because he's Josh Oliver, and our Josh game is so strong that we have completely blasted out every other team in the league in Josh's.
That's fair. Kromatos, what do you think?
I like him as a pass catcher. Naturally, we're not going to see this guy in the run game for a while. I think, you know, he's a big body. I think he's gonna, tight ends have one of the most difficult transitions into the NFL. And I do think we will probably not see much out of him, but I do think third down, he will definitely be in a lot. I think Nick Foles will be targeting him a lot, as a pass catcher. Honestly, I mean, I don't think he's the same exact athlete, but he does kind of remind me of Evan Engram. From the Giants, to where good athlete, mainly as a pass catcher, nothing in the run game. And I think that's what we should look at as to kind of what his ceiling or what he will be. If we want him to be a pass catcher, that's what we would like to see him as. I'm not expecting anything out of the run game. So I just want him to catch 5 touchdowns this year. We'll call it a good year, and then we'll take it. We'll see from there. Fills a need. Because if we were gone into next year with just James O'Shaughnessy, it would have been a struggle. So I like the pick. I watched some highlights, watched a little bit of film, and I'm okay with it. I think he's a good. I think he'll be solid for us all year. So I like it.
Well, also in the third round at 98th overall, we talked about him very briefly earlier, but. It's our special team specialist, Quincy Williams, from some fucking community
Murray
college
State,
somewhere.
Baby. The Racers. That's another Kentucky school.
Yes.
So what do you guys think about, I don't know, this 5'9", 170 linebacker that we took.
A plus, he doesn't even have a profile on NFL.com, so that's where you usually get my opinions. So I don't have anything to say. He's just a guy. Hopefully he's
A plus. He's gonna make JJ Watt look like a total pussy.
Relax.
Yeah, okay, well he's right though. He's another guy from Kentucky school, which you know, as you guys know, I'm actually from Kentucky. He's from southwestern part of Kentucky, a little tiny ass school. Fits his bio because he's a tiny little dude. I legit know nothing about this guy. I just assume he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. So I'm going to go with Freer on this. I'm not going to give any other grade. I'm going to say an A plus.
Yeah, I'm going to be real with you since we're about halfway through our draft. I don't really know anything about any of the people besides Juwan Taylor, because all I could watch was Florida. I usually work on Saturdays. And I remember the Kentucky game well, so there's a little bit of Josh Allen in there. I don't know. I've never heard of any of these people, so I'm just going to assume they're all great.
Perfect. Well, apparently this guy looks more like a safety than he does an outside linebacker, but also apparently he moves really well, and he hits hard from some of the highlights that I saw, but yeah. Those are just highlights that apparently he made himself, which is hilarious.
Nobody else would. Sometimes you gotta, if you want something done right, you gotta do it yourself.
Well, he was the first piece of that Telvin Smith puzzle, I think. After word got out that no one had spoken with Telvin, and then we took a linebacker in the third round. I think that's when people really started. Talking about the Telvin scenario.
Well, he is basically a fourth round pick. I don't know if he's really gunning for Telvin. I mean, I know Telvin was like a fifth round pick, but he's obviously transcended that just a tad.
Well, speaking of fifth round picks, we did not have a fourth, but we did have a fifth, 140th overall. How do you pronounce his name? Ryquell Armstead? Is that right?
Well, something like that. Yeah. He's
let's
fast.
Let's get our language specialist
he's,
in here.
He's very fast. 445.
My only issue with him is that he doesn't seem like a pass-catching running back, and we still don't really have a pass-catching running back.
We have Benny Cunningham, but that's...
Yeah.
I agree. He's literally the only person that could catch a pass out of our backfield.
From what I'm reading here from D-Rock, because I didn't watch a lot of Temple football games the past couple of years.
What a coincidence.
So, which, by the way, he played very well at Temple. He rushed for almost 3,000 yards and 34 touchdowns. So he at least played very well at Temple, and he's very fast. But... D-Rock says he's good in pass protection. He's a good pass blocker. So he's probably going to be more of a third down pass blocking back.
That reminds me of the issue that whenever we put in Fournette, we know it's going to be a run play.
Right. Yeah.
So Fournette needs to learn how to do something else. Just throwing that out there.
Well, they gotta give him a chance too, because we barely ever threw it to him. Like
that's
true.
Yeah.
They don't ever give him. He can obviously catch screen passes and all that. Like that's no trouble for the guy. But we never do anything like that. So part of it, I guess you could say, is Fournette's hands. But they said they didn't feel like it was an issue for him. I think it's more so our play calling was ass, and so they never even attempted to give Fournette any other looks or even try to run him out of anything but the I formation. They could do like a trick play out of the shotgun just to throw him off, but we never fucking did anything like that.
So we have a real offensive coordinator now, so hopefully changes will come.
Good old D-Flip.
Was that you just drinking something out of a straw for?
God damn it. Yeah, I turned off. I turned off push to talk because you said it was cutting out, and I didn't know how I could fix that, so I just did.
No, this is what we want on the podcast. We want to hear you clicking that pin.
We need personality, and that slurp is the perfect bit of personality we need for you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I gave this pick an A plus. I didn't say that, but I was thinking it.
Speaking of personality, Gardner Minshew, round six.
We drafted our Blake Bortles replacement. How do you feel about that?
That's our meme quarterback.
Well, he's replaced. Oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to say he was going to replace both Bortles and Kessler. Kessler is like the human equivalent of a bagel, like a plain bagel.
What?
He has no personality. I don't know anything about him. And up until I saw his face, I thought he was I got him mistaken for that one Browns quarterback that I guess is out of the league now. I don't remember his name.
Every other Browns quarterback you can
get? Yeah, that one.
Fair.
So, yeah, Gardner Minshew seems like a really cool guy. And I saw someone say they were upset because Gardner and Blake would be like best buds.
And, oh, no.
For life.
Well, they still can. They still can. I'm sure one of these days they'll meet up or something. And like,
when they're fucking battling in this fucking Super Bowl for
Minshew.
Starting quarterback for the Jaguars and Bortles starting quarterback for the Rams this year. That's going to be
the storybook Blake toys, ending. The Blake toys versus Max Shrew.
That would probably have the lowest Super Bowl viewership in history, but I'd love it.
I mean, the 2018 one, you're not setting a necessarily high bar. That was the one. That was the first Super Bowl probably 10 years that I just didn't watch the whole thing because it was the most boring fucking experience I've ever seen.
Wait, so, who played this year?
Rams and Patriots. There you go.
Oh, right.
There you go.
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
So Gardner Minshew actually won a national title with Northwest Mississippi Community College. So there's something.
Pedigree.
Repping those whatever they are.
Types into Google really fast.
So he graduated early from East Carolina, my home state. And then
I thought there was only a North and South Carolina.
Oh,
they had
shit.
A third.
You're right. And then, he became a Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year and fifth in Heisman voting. So I don't know. I guess the dude's pretty good. Probably good enough to be our number two quarterback on the depth chart. So, assuming
he's bye bye Kessler.
Better
I won't
than
remember
Cody
anything
Kessler.
About you. I don't even know what number he wears.
The only thing I know about Cody Kessler is that that Blake got benched for Cody at some point last year. So
the way you said that makes it sound like you're not even sure about that.
I was trying to think.
Are we sure that's Cody Kessler? That might just be somebody else.
Probably not. It was probably Tanner Lee. I don't know.
I don't even know.
Which, by the way,
he hasn't been demoted to Waterboy yet.
By the way, Tanner is going to be a lifelong practice squad QB.
No, they're going to demote him to water boy. I'm feeling it. Hey, Tanner, pass me a water. And he's going to toss it, like hit him in the face. It's like, sorry.
Send it over to mountains.
God damn it, Tanner.
So, yeah, so I'm okay with it. I think it's a good backup. He can battle out Cody for a second, and whoever wins, better out for us. So.
Well, I know
there's
a six-round pick.
I know there was a lot of concern that Nick Foles may or may not have the ability to stay healthy for an entire season. So it's nice to have somebody other than Cody Kessler if we need someone other than Nick Foles. So, and I'm halfway of the assumption that Nick Foles is going to stink it up pretty bad for a few games. And I kind of want to hear the crowd start chanting for Gardner Minshew. I think that would be pretty
fucking
hilarious.
They're going to remember his name, to be honest. I think they're just going to remember his number and start yelling that.
Possible or mustache.
So 30,
yeah,
30
mustache. That's it.
30 threat. What do you think about Gardner Minshew?
Give it an A+.
Nice.
No complaints.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's move on to Dontavius Russell, DT from Auburn, and then move right on from that, because I don't know anything about Dontavius Russell.
Sounds like a my player in Madden. Like, I looked at his highlights. He's the guy. Like, no big deal. He's there. Probably not even going to make the roster.
Probably Sorry, not. Dude. Big guy. 6'3", 320. Interior lineman.
Well, our interior line depth is a crapshoot, but, you know, there's a chance. And if there is, good for him. If not, I don't really know anything about him either, but I'm giving the pick an A+ anyways.
I like this. This is nice.
That's fair.
So, undrafted guys, anyone of note there?
That's actually what I was just looking through here.
I haven't even seen the list. I don't know any of them.
I don't know. We signed
like last year.
We signed like 20 guys or something.
I feel like we have too high aspirations as a football franchise to be worrying about undrafted free agents like we were 3 years ago. So, eh.
Well, we seem to just pull some from a hat and then they just fucking go off every so often. Like fucking Alan Hearns, Keelan Cole. Leon Jacobs was basically an undrafted free agent. The motherfucker is starting for us. So, I mean, we can just find talent at any point in the draft.
We did have one undrafted wide receiver this year. Actually, two, I'm sorry. One of them, Diedrich Snelson Jr. He's actually from UCF.
Sounds like a winner.
And then Michael Walker out of Boston College. So,
oh, wait. No, dude, you missed Poppy White from Ohio.
Oh, shit. That's on me, guys. Oh,
that's an even bigger winner name.
You heard these people. Yeah, Poppy White, though. That's what, definitely going to be
also,
the winner.
Also, you missed Tyre Brady from Marshall. What are you looking at? What list are you looking at?
Oh, he was just the one that was on the sub.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's just some stuff I wrote down on a toilet paper.
So, I don't know any of these guys. I don't think anyone knows any of these guys. I did ask Locksman about Dredrick Snelson because Locks is a big UCF guy. And he says Snelson is pretty good, but he's a slot guy, which we have 80 of already. But
perfect,
great, yeah, we could use more of those.
Just what we need.
So yeah, not really anybody notable. We got two linebackers, and then. However, let's see. And then, so we got two undrafted free agent linebackers and then whatever other free agent linebackers we got. So a bunch of guys that aren't going to make the roster.
Such is life.
So as a draft overall, how do you think old Diamond Dave banged this one out this year?
A+.
I'm not surprised at your answer, I'm going to be honest.
I am. I thought it was going to be an A++, so not good there. I like it. I mean, we got best player available. Actually, I think the first two rounds really for us, and one of those best players available filled a need. Josh Allen wasn't really like a need, but it was more of a hell, you can't pass on this player type situation. Oliver, our third round pick, tight end, filled another need. So honestly, I'm just basing it on those first three rounds, and then Quincy Williams, I mean, Hall of Famer. So basing it off those first three rounds, I think it was a good draft. I'm 100% okay with it.
I'll give it an A with the stipulation that this is no credit to Dave or Tom, and they're both really bad at their jobs. But it was an A because they fell into it.
That's fair.
Well, I think
except for moving up for Taylor, that he did. We'll just let that slide and say.
I think
that was obvious. They should have done that. But continue
with this draft and our previous one. I think it's fair to say that one, when they say they're going to do something, in all likelihood, that's exactly what they're going to do. Because the past 2 years, we're like, so, Mr. Caldwell, who do you think you're gonna be going after? Oh, we're gonna take the best player available. Haha. Okay. Wink, wink. And then they did that twice. So I think it's pretty predictable that if you're like really into mock drafts or just guessing who we're going to pick, they're going to pick whoever they think the best player available is every single time, which means you're really not going to know who we're going to pick until the pick comes to us or we get the first overall pick, which would really suck.
But we would have a new front office.
Yes, well, that's true.
All right, so before we get ready to end this and roll out, I did make a post on the sub earlier to ask for a little bit of feedback on the pod and maybe throw a question or two at us to run by you guys while we were recording tonight. Rudy102600 did say, Crom, maybe we should try to get Smoot in for a visit. Have you messaged him?
No. I'll actually do that right now, though.
I know you mentioned it before. So he would probably be cool with coming on. I don't think he's too busy with, like, you know, playing. So.
fucking throwing shade. He's not going to come on now.
Yeah, just don't tell him I said that.
All right, I'll tell him I said it.
And
Fruiter said.
And then Wade, in typical Wade fashion, said, yeah, let me see if I can fit this into my schedule between cutting off my own dick and eating raw pork. So.
Oh, there was one other thing, actually, before we wrap this all up. And I showed Crom this already.
Oh, God.
It's amazing because there's all this Tyreek Hill drama going on.
Oh, Jesus.
And at about 2 a.m. on the RNFL subreddit, like a lone tweet emerged from some nobody account. And I believe it's true. Is during the Super Bowl, there was like a little youth event of like flag football. And the captains were Kurt Warner and Tyreek Hill. And they gave this little 10-year-old boy, who is evidently autistic, if the tweet is to be believed, the football. And, like, everybody's doing, like, the, you know, the fake little grab at his flags, you know, like, you know, just pretend like you're gonna tackle him or whatever. And he makes it to the end zone. And Tyreek Hill breaks off running down the sideline, jumps for it, and trips the kid up to prevent him from scoring. Like, the absolute scumbag that he is.
So Freer,
I have the tweet. I'm posting in chat. I'm gonna post it in the thread, but like, it's on video, so you know, he's like a movie villain. He's just absolute scumbag.
All right, I want to back up real quick. I just want to point out that Freer was on NFL subreddit at 2 a.m. looking to win some arguments, by the way.
Where else was he? Speaking of which, we have to ask this question. Freer, was all that time spent defending Bortles against everyone on the internet only for him to be a backup on another team? Was it worth it?
Yeah, because I wasn't trying to. It doesn't matter how well he was doing. I don't think he was getting a fair shake. And all I was trying to do was say he should get a fair shake. It doesn't matter what team he's on. I'm just saying you misrepresented the guy, and it's that's all there was to it. Like, somebody said it last year, but Bortles required a lot of people that wouldn't have otherwise said anything to defend him, just because it's like, well, I mean, no, that's not true, you know.
Like you?
Yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't generally care if people are like, well, you know, it's just not working out for us, whatever. I think we need a change at quarterback. It's not working. We're not building a system that he's compatible with. Instead, it was like, no, he can't throw a football. It's like, well, that's obviously not true.
He can't, though, but good talk.
Honestly, Freer actually gave a reasonable take there, and I was expecting.
Oh, yeah, I did want to say this, and it goes contrary to everything I've said on the sub, but I don't think Foles is going to go out there just immediately throw seven pick sixes, but I think he's not going to be like the upgrade that people think he's going to be, and I think we're going to end up regretting paying him money. But at the same time, there's no one to draft in this draft either. because they didn't. They obviously didn't want Haskins. So I think I think he fits into that tier of average quarterbacks where you have to build a team around them for them to be competitive and successful. And it remains to be seen if we've done that.
I want to point out that that question came from Vega.
Yeah.
And Vega refuses to come onto the podcast because he doesn't want to have a podcast with low IQ football fans. So fuck you, Vega.
Well, that is just absolutely hilarious, but he only has stupid opinions anyway, so.
I just think Vega really hates Crom.
You can have me on every week. You can have me on every week. Man. I won't even say something sometimes. Sometimes I'll just grunt. You'll be like, all right, good take for
you. we'll just have you on in the background every week.
Yeah.
Just
fine.
A+ everything.
I'll be playing like TF2 or something. You'd be like, so what's your take on this, Freer? And I won't have heard anything. And I'd be like, I'm a big ramen noodle guy myself. She's like, all right, thanks. I'll just mute myself.
All right.
So
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you should get Tracer on sometime if you haven't already.
We need Gunny now.
Yeah. Gunny, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Burn.
Yes.
Tracer's on the list. There are a couple of people. I actually got a DM today or yesterday from someone who wanted to come on too. So we've got some people that we need to get on.
I did just message Smoot there. So, we'll, play that back, and hopefully by the time you actually post on the podcast, post the podcast on the sub, he'll, give a response to that.
At some point, I want us to have like a town hall podcast where you just got like 10 people in here just fucking around. Doesn't have to be about anything important.
Terrible idea. No one's
listening to it. It's a great idea. They're all going to be a part of it. All your views will be from the people who are in it.
We're going to have to mute everybody. Like that one time, Crom muted D Straight for like 6 months in a row.
That's exactly.
That's fine. As long as they're in here, they're a part of it, you know?
All right, well, let's start wrapping up. Let's go down the list here and just, I don't know, I guess, tell me, you know, after the draft, how you guys are feeling about, you know, coming up on preseason and, you know, how confident are you that this squad of guys we have might be able to win some football games? 30-30?
We're probably going to go 9-7, sneak into the playoffs with a 6 seed, and just run the table. Easy money.
A plus.
No big deal. A++.
Crom, what do you think, dude?
Well, first off, since we're wrapping this up here, Freer, thank you for letting me join you on your podcast today. We appreciate.
Yeah, you're not coming back though. You're too silent. Okay.
That's fair. I do appreciate you letting us join you.
Man, no worries. I'm a very gracious king.
So thank you so much on that. But honestly,
modest too.
Looking at the schedule this year, I see 16-0, 19-0 going to Super Bowl. Easy as that. Easy clap.
Well,
Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles.
No, Gardner Minshew. I've already told you this.
Nice.
A+. Oh yeah, that's definitely A+.
Yeah, it's Minshew versus Bortles in the Super Bowl. Book it. If that does not happen, I will promote Yuri.
He will eat another pizza on stream this time with pineapples. You heard it here, folks.
Yes.
He'd probably rather make Yuri a mod than eat another entire pizza with just pineapple.
For what it's worth, when we played the Falcons this year, if we actually beat them, that entire like post game thread, I want every single person to like tag Yuri in it.
Oh, dude! If Yuri comes back to the Discord, we're making him red like old Red Evan, dude.
Well, he came back like 2 weeks ago, and we unbanned him, and then like literally 30-30 is just like, I can't deal with this dude. Like less than 30 minutes of Yuri talk and banned him already again.
Like deadass 5 minutes in, he posted an anime picture with a MAGA hat, and I was like, do you want to talk about football or not? And I banned him. I don't know what it is with you all in anime, man.
Atlanta Evans.
Weird. weird.
I think it's hilarious. I think the reason I'm never going to be anything higher than D tier, for no other reason other than posting God Bless Anime, and I'm not going to stop. You can't stop me. I mean, you can stop me, but you shouldn't. Don't do that.
You can't stop the train once it starts rolling.
Exactly. It's gonna, before you know it, it's going to become a sub emote, and you're going to be stuck with it. But as far as my take goes, I was generally pessimistic before the draft. But every single year since basically 2013, I've just been wildly optimistic. But I think we're going to be somewhere between like 7-9 and like 13-3 or some shit. I think we're gonna steal some games, and I think we're gonna kick some ass in the playoffs. I also think we're gonna beat the Titans this year, just because they're gonna pull some shit that's just gonna be ridiculous. I think the key to beating the Titans for us is to establish like the long ball, because that's really what they're weak at. We keep trying to go for the run, but their weakness is just, nah, fuck you, just chuck it down the field. And if they wise up to that, it'll be great. And we'll never have to hear Titans fans open their big, stupid, incestuous mouths again.
So what you're saying is if we beat the Titans, then we pretty much win the Super Bowl, right?
Oh, you goddamn right. They're gonna make it to the AFC Championship game just so we can like beat them 52-0. And then we're never going to let go of it, and we're going to keep it in our hearts like that time we kicked the shit out of the Colts.
Oh, shit, my mom's
which is most times.
Okay, well, it sounds good. It sounds like a solid A-plus to me.
No, that's an A triple plus plus.
Oh, triple plus. Damn, that's a lot of pluses. I do want to say, I'm looking at this sidebar, and this picture of Josh Allen holding his son's face is cracking me up. Like, I've been staring at the sidebar this entire episode, this entire recording session, and I just like 5 minutes noticed his son's face, and it's so fucking hilarious.
Oh, hey, I noticed there was a new comment in the thread. You might want to have a look at it.
Yeah,
at the bottom.
Yeah, I saw that. But see, I ignore comments from douchebags. So,
hey, don't talk about Rudy like that.
Let's see. Also, that video that you posted of Tyreek is fucking hilarious.
So I don't understand. How do you get down there? He's the type of dude that would just go strolling down the street and literally take candy from a baby. People would just look at him like, why would you do that? You don't need to do that. And he's like, well, because I'm Tyreek Hill, bitch. And just leave. I don't think he's gonna be playing in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I don't think so. Which is good for us, I guess, week one.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, any parting words, Mr. Freer?
My prediction about Nathan Peterman starting for us is looking grim, but I'm still holding out hope for him. So.
Fair enough. 30-30?
Nope.
A plus.
Done with the draft, and now comes the time of the year when I'm going to be depressed because there's no football on.
Bring on the shit posts.
Yep.
I don't think preseason starts until August 1st. Is week one, I think, of preseason. Anyway, it's a long fucking time from now, and I'm going to be bored out of my mind. I'm looking forward to camp battles. Just so we can have some sort of football to talk about, but otherwise, this is going to be a long stretch without football, and it's going to suck. So, I don't know how often we're going to be able to kind of bring you guys these episodes of this pod.
Well, I was thinking about that. I think if Crom wants to get off his ass, he could do some Jackbox Party Pack streams. Just get the sub in here.
Yeah, well, you see, he's been telling me for like 3 months that we're gonna play some Jackbox, and
well, if he won't do it, then I'll fucking buy it, and we'll just do it like that and bypass Crom.
A plus, I like it. A plus.
Yeah, A plus for everyone. Except for Crom. You get like a solid B minus.
Speaking of Crom, he had to take a phone call apparently, so we're gonna wrap up sans Kromatos. I'm assuming he would tell you guys like fuck off or whatever, so
that sounds like something he'd do, yes.
So thanks a lot again, Freer, for coming back on. Thanks a lot, 3030 Threat, for coming to hang out. We'll have to have you on again.
Yep.
Everyone's second favorite mod, by the way. I think I've said that about every mod, because all you guys are pretty much second to me, so.
My favorite is the auto mod. That Very guy true. Really gets it done.
Dude, fuck the auto mod. So yeah, so we're going to roll out. Thanks for hanging out, guys. And
bring Gunny on.
And if we can find Gunny, if he's not dead or real, like
underneath a vial of Coors Light bottles,
reliving his Vietnam days, then maybe one day we'll have the old guy on. But
God bless.
Yep. For now, that's it. So yeah, thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you later.
Peace.